pray your best prayers. When you're full, when you live full, that's when things are the best. You're in a good place. Then I showed you a fuel gauge that was on empty. When you're on empty, you're dangerous. And everyone around you knows. Everyone around you knows when you're on empty. And when you're on empty, it's not a good place to be. And in fact, it's a very difficult place to get out of if you allow yourself to get to that place. But last week we talked about the fact that no matter where we're at right now, and everyone in the room right now is in a different place on that page, but no matter where we're at, if we will take the responsibility to refill our lives, starting with times alone with God, and then other relational things, recreational things, whatever works for you, we can move towards living the life that God really intends for all of us to live, and that is the full life. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Wait.
God's intention is for you to live a full life, filled up, full of God, full of love, full of great relationships, full of joy, full of passion. That's the life God intends for you. But you must take the responsibility for yourself. I can't do it for you. I can't fill you up. You have to make the decisions to do the things that you need to do so that you might live the full life. So last week was all about the whole exhausted thing. Today we're going to focus on the word overschedule. Overschedule. Now, you may not literally use the word overschedule. I don't use that word. I don't look at Luann and go, honey, we are so overscheduled. But you may use other words to describe the concept, right? Oh man, it's crazy right now. I hear that a lot. It's crazy. I'm buried. I've always thought that was an interesting word. I'm buried. I'm swamped. Burning the candle at both ends. You know, depending on what part of the country you're from, you might have a pet saying to describe overscheduled. But no matter how you say it, I would imagine everyone in the room knows what it feels like to be overscheduled. I want to show you guys a little illustration. I'm gonna have my friend Ed come on up. Come on up, Ed. You guys welcome him. I'm gonna have Ed demonstrate a little bit to help you kind of see if you recognize this feeling of being overscheduled. So, Ed, what I'm going to have you do is I'm just going to have you just do that. Just balance. Just keep that going. Pretty good. It's not perfect, but, you know. But it's kind of a picture of your, you know, your life. You know, Ed's got his work, he's got family, you know, he goes to the gym, he's got his stuff going pretty good. You know, there's times when, you know, things get a little whoa, but he's maintaining life pretty well.
Oh no.
Here we go. Then the boss calls and says, Ed, I've got this big project. And I need you to head it up. And then he also gets a call from his wife who says, did you remember that that Eric has a band performance tonight?
Oh,
keep it going. Yeah. Yeah. He also, needless to say, you know, everybody knows what that feels like, right? Anybody here familiar with that run and gun, watch checking, driving too fast while thinking of the excuse you're going to use to explain why you're late? Anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
You're driving as fast as you can, and the whole time you're thinking, okay, if I say, you know, first of all, I have to start off with a super apology. I'm so sorry I'm late. It's because the power went out last night and my alarm clock went off. Or please, maybe if I cry, it'll. I'm telling you, I have done that before. I'm in the car speeding. I know I'm going to be late, and I'm thinking, maybe if I slide in behind somebody and they don't see me, I can just skip. You know, I remember in school, I could just get in and sit in the back, you know. I know that some of us here in the church struggle with this. And you know why I know? Because some of us can't even get to church on time. Now, if it was one of us, or even two of us, I would be able to put my arm around you and we'd go for a walk around the building. And I'd be like, so, what's up with the always being late for church today? You know, maybe I can help you out. But since it's 20 or 30 of us, my arms aren't that big. And so I have to do the some of us thing. So I know that this is a real issue for some of us. I was thinking this week about when Luann and I first got married. About a year after we got married, we found out that we were expecting our first child, and this is back when we lived in Texas. And back then, I had this little courier job. I had this little car that I didn't have an air conditioner, and I used to drive all over Dallas-Fort Worth and deliver documents to these different businesses or whatever. So I had this courier job, and I played a few gigs, you know, on the side at that time. But now we find out we're about to have a child, and so I'm in panic mode. It was like, time to get serious, time to grow up. And so out of panic, I signed up to learn computer programming from a tech school. Now this is another thing that we do often when we're, as far as how we get overscheduled, is panic usually makes us make bad decisions. So I make this decision, you know, I'm going to be a computer programmer. Hey, you know, I'm desperate, man. I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to grow up. So anyway, so I start taking this class, these classes or whatever at this tech school. And one of the days at the school, this teacher that I have for this one particular class, he was like this really eccentric, kind of weird cat, you know. But one day, he goes on this extended rant about the importance of being on time in the professional world. He's trying to help us. You know, when you get a job or when you go to interview and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, this is like a 45-minute rant that he goes on. So weird, you know. And he said, I'll never forget it. He said, there is no excuse for being late. There's no excuse for being late. You should factor in that there might be an accident on the freeway, or that you might get a flat tire, or that this might happen, or that might happen. There's no excuse for being late. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is crazy. Who does that? Well, little did I know that years later, I would be catching flights all over the world, having to be in specific places, specific countries at specific times, in all kinds of conditions, and that crazy man's words stuck with me and continues to stick with me to this day. Part of the reason that I had the success that I had in the music industry was I was never late because of what that man said. Isn't it interesting how just something random, some random thing that you hear will stick with you and guide you for the rest of your life? Overscheduling. There's another kind of strange thing about me, and that's also one of the strange things about me, is I can be over prepared, whatever. But I'm really interested in studying people's schedules. Really interested in that. I've studied schedules of famous and successful people in all walks of life. I mean, I've literally printed out Coach John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens. I've literally printed out his schedule. I know what he does every day. Did you know that Winston Churchill worked from his bed? He woke up at 7 a.m. every morning and worked in his bed until noon every day. Isn't that weird? Can't say that it didn't work for him, though.
Right.
That was working for Winston, you know. Did you know that Leonardo da Vinci would take 2-hour naps whenever he got tired? Instead of sleeping 8 hours at night, he would work, get tired, take a 2-hour nap. Work, get tired, take a 2-hour nap. Work, get tired, take a 2-hour nap. I just heard this week about the Archbishop of Canterbury, the current Archbishop, who is responsible for over 77 million people. Do you know he prays 5 times a day on schedule? A lot of people who have led interesting and successful lives throughout history have really strange schedules. They didn't do the normal, quote-unquote, schedule thing that people try to push on us all the time. They didn't have a schedule that looked like everyone else's. They focused on whatever would work for them the best. So, here's a question I have for you. Is your current schedule working point. Now, at this point, I know, I'm pretty sure, that some of us in the room are thinking, this is all very interesting, but when does the sermon start? I didn't come to church to hear about my calendar. Where's the religious stuff? But what if the arrangement of your daily and weekly schedule was actually one of the holiest things you could do? What if I told you that your calendar actually plays a critical role in determining who you will become as a person, as a Christian, as a family member, as a friend? What if I told you that your calendar actually plays a super important role in determining who you will become? So I have two questions. The first question is, who would you like to become?
Who would you like
to become? Not what would you like to do, but who would you like to actually become? When we started this church, when God called us to do this, and after we wrestled and did the "Are you sure, God? Didn't show us the police, show us this, do that, prove it, blah, blah, blah," we went through the whole process. And God just made it so clear that He wanted us to do this. One of the things that I had to really just face head on was a struggle that I've had for many, many years in my life, and that was being a college dropout. After high school, I went to college with Texas Tech University. I was there for a year and a half, and I ended up dropping out. Because I got a band and started traveling and, you know, all that stuff that started happening. But I always had this struggle over the years of being a college dropout. And my wife has a degree, you know, we're raising our kids, and I'm pushing, you know, we're going to go to college, you know, college, you know, go to college. And, you know, my son, he makes jokes about it. And, at the same time, I was a college dropout, and I was really struggling with that. Well, God used the launching of the church to kind of put me in that place of, who do you want to become? And I said, God, I want to be a college graduate. That's who I want to be. And so what I did was, I found a Bible college, and then started taking online classes. And so in my calendar every week, I put the days that I would actually be online, the days that I would do my homework, the specific days that I had time, I slotted out times to do all of that. Literally. And sometimes life would change, and so I'd have to leave. I could change my schedule or whatever, but literally I put in my calendar the days that I would do school. 12 years later, I took one class at a time. That's all we could afford. That's all I had time to do. And while pastoring a church, traveling with Promise Keepers, doing all the stuff that I was raising our kids, one class at a time, for 12 years, I'm a college grad. Any one of you could do that. Because all it is putting something on the calendar and then living it out, showing up and following the instructions. That's all it is. But it starts with your calendar. How many of you guys have heard the name John Grisham before? Anybody know who John Grisham is, the novelist? Sold over 300 million books. He was actually an attorney, and he hated his job because he really wanted to be an author. So what he decided to do was he put on his calendar that he would wake up an hour early every day before work. He'd wake up an hour early and he would write one page in that hour, and he would do that every day. Wake up an hour early, write for an hour. He'd write one page. He started doing that. And then he kept doing that. And he became one of the most prolific novelists of our time. Books are made into movies. All because on his calendar he decided, wake up 1 hour early, write one page. That's where it all started. It's the power of a word written on a schedule and then lived out. Who do you want to become? The second question, you're gonna love this one. What would your schedule look like, or how would you spend your time if God was in charge of it? What would your calendar look like if God was in charge? Think about this coming week. If God came in today and goes, okay, let's tweak this a little bit. And he wrote down the things on there that he would want to put on there, what would your week, this coming week, look like? You were no longer in charge of your schedule and how you spent your time. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added or be given to you as well." So even if you have the smallest interest in living that out, even if you have the smallest interest in trying to become a more spirit-filled, more spirit-led follower of Jesus, someone who's actually growing, someone who's actually learning, someone who's experiencing miracles, experiencing the power and presence of God in your life, someone with more direction as far as your life. If that's you, even at the most smallest level, even if you're just barely like, I'm kind of interested, then there's a couple things you have to have on your schedule. You have to have these things on your schedule. If you want to become more, you want to experience more of the power and presence of God in your life. First one, of course, is church. Is church on your calendar? Or is Sunday morning a coin flip? Laying in bed, okay, heads, I stay here. Tails, I go to church. Tails, oh my gosh. I was hoping it'd be heads, I'm really tired. Because if you don't have church on your calendar, that's what it is. I can't tell you so many times people say to me after church, wow, that was a church was awesome today. I almost didn't come, you know, because, you know, I was out late last night, you know, or whatever. It's like, you don't have church on the calendar? It's not an automatic? Say amen or no.
Amen.
Jesus had church on his calendar. Luke 4, verse 16, it says, and on the Sabbath day, he, Jesus, went into the synagogue as was his custom. No matter what town he was in, it didn't matter. When it was the Sabbath, he was in the synagogue, no matter where he was, no matter when it was. It wasn't a coin flip. And heads, I get to sleep. Praise God. Thank you. I believe that was providence. That God's the one that controlled that. He made it heads. If he wanted me to go, he would have made it tails. Anybody ever play that game? Anybody ever play that game? You must not want me to go. You should have church on your schedule. What about Bible study? How are you going to grow if you don't study the Bible with other believers? There's other areas of your life too. If you're married, do you have a date night? I know it can be difficult to carve out, but when you put something on your schedule, it makes it way easier. What about times with your kids? What about exercise? How about music lessons? Or just stuff that you want to do. Who do you want to become? I want to close with a story that I heard from Pastor Bill Hybels. And he talked about how he met this man who was a businessman, started coming to church, and his family life was kind of rocky, but he started coming to church. And then one day, after a while, he came up to Pastor Bill after church, and he said he was really excited. He's like, I memorized my first Bible verse. And Pastor Hybels was like, hey, that's awesome. And it was Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And Pastor Hybels said, man, that is so cool that you did that. You memorized, you know, is this your first verse? He was like, yeah, it's my first verse. And he said, okay, well, are you just going to quote it and, you know, kind of show off what you know, or are you going to actually live it, try to live it? And man was like, how would I do that? How would I actually do that? And Pastor Hybels told him, he said, well, one of the ways you can do it is to redraft your schedule and schedule times where you seek God, where you put God first in your week, in your days. And then it was like, I run a business. I have stuff that I have to do. How can I do that? And Pastor Hybels says, well, I mean, everybody has stuff that they have to do, you know, but you can use your schedule to schedule in specific times where you put God first, and I'll help you. So they started working on all that. And so he started thinking about who did he want to become. And he realized, well, my marriage is really kind of not really strong right now, so I want to strengthen my marriage. I want to be a better husband. So he started scheduling times, you know, with his wife, date nights, stuff like that. And he thought, you know, I've really been kind of neglecting the kids. We haven't had a family vacation in a long time. I don't spend enough time with them. So he started scheduling stuff like that in. Then he scheduled in, you know, a men's Bible study. And Bible study just rocked his life. And then he even started scheduling times where he could volunteer and serve in different places in the church. He scheduled that in and started doing that. And little did he know, like over the next couple of years, he became a completely different person. Which was important because within 2 years, he got cancer. And the cancer started to totally ravage his body. In the days before he passed away, Pastor Heibel would meet with him, and the man said to him, "Well, at least I got the last couple years of my life right. At least I did the right things the last 2 years of my life, didn't I?" He had become the person he had always wanted to be at the end of his life. And it started with his schedule. It started with writing down who he wanted to become, and then living it out. Who do you want to become? And what would your schedule look like? Or how would you spend your time if God were in charge of you? Tell me about it.